Welcome to the Studying the Bible podcast, where every Thursday, Pastors Dylan Dodson and Brian Androsian study a book of the Bible, verse by verse, to see what is being communicated and how we can use it to grow in our relationship with Jesus. We pray that today's podcast can help you grow just a little bit closer to Christ.
Well, welcome back to our Bible study through the book of Colossians. And this session will be in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 through 23. Now, the context of this, remember, Paul is talking about the supremacy, the greatness of Christ, and the section before is essentially saying Jesus plus nothing equals everything. This does not mean that how we live doesn't matter. It does. But we don't have to do certain things to earn God's love or earn God's favor or earn God's grace. It is in response of God's grace that we live how we live, but it's not to get something from him. It is all because of Jesus and his greatness. And so in light of that, he says this in verse 16. He says, therefore, because Christ has accomplished everything for us, therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink, or in the matter of a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. Now, judge here, what the connotation of the word that we have translated judge here means, it's this idea of holding somebody guilty of a crime. And so for Paul, again, it's not that certain Jewish festivals and observances, which is what he's referring to specifically here, it's not that these things are bad, but they don't save you or they don't make you righteous. And maybe in our context, it's certainly not a bad thing to have, you know, time with the Lord, to read your Bible, to pray, to fast. These things are good. And in fact, maybe we should be encouraged to do them more. But it's not because they save us. Instead, it's because they allow us to experience more of who God is. What Paul is talking about here is don't let people judge you by saying, if you don't do certain things, it means that God clearly doesn't love you or you clearly don't love God, because again, Jesus has accomplished all of it on our behalf. And so we don't do these things in order to get God to love us. So he says, don't let people judge you in regard to food or drink or in the matter of festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. Then verse 17, he says, these are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is Christ. In other words, these observances, likely talking about Jewish observances here, festivals and holidays and these sorts of things, these observances pointed to a future reality that was fulfilled entirely by Jesus. In other words, believers are not obligated to follow or to do these things. Again, in Colossae, there was some false teachers, probably a mix of pagan ideologies and Jewish, you know, laws and customs, and saying you've got to do these things in order for God to love you. He's saying that believers are not obligated to follow or to do these things in order to honor God. Again, it's not that they're bad, but the point of these things was to point us to God. Again, even the things that we do today, like I mentioned, maybe quiet times or praying, fasting, various spiritual practices, they are very good, but the point of them is to point us to God, not to make us more acceptable or more lovely in God's sight. Because God loves us, we do these things to grow closer to him, but we don't do them because if we don't, then we're somehow in trouble or we're somehow viewed as guilty in God's sight. Because again, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are viewed as righteous and blameless and holy and just, again, not because of what you have done, but because of what Christ has done. And that's what Paul is emphasizing. Again, it's not that these things are bad, but they don't save us. Only Jesus does. So he says this in verse 18. He says, let no one condemn you by delighting in ascetic practices and the worship of angels, claiming access to a visionary realm. Such people are inflated by empty notions of their unspiritual minds. But what he's talking about here is that believers are a part of the body of Christ, right? He says this in Romans and 1 Corinthians. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are a member, you are a part of the body of Christ. And because of that, because of what Christ has done, no one can take that away from you. Or in this case, no one can come in and say, that's great that you believe in Jesus, but you also have to do certain things to really be accepted or to really be a part of Christ's body. Now, again, we don't exactly know the specific false teaching that Paul is writing against because this is a letter. And so we can do the best from historical studies and, you know, Christian writers of the time and those that were following this first century. But we don't exactly know what he's talking about here. But whatever the specific problem is, Paul is warning against believing that you must partake in extra things in order to really know God. So this is what he talks about, ascetic practices, that some people were saying you have to do these things to really know who God is or to really have a relationship with him. Or there's this thing about, you know, worshiping angels, which is kind of confusing because we don't know exactly what he's talking about here. But again, there might be some sort of teaching that you had to do some extra thing, or there's something with angels or something different that you had to do in order to, again, really experience God's love. What Paul says is these are unspiritually minded people, because you have access to God directly through Jesus. And so we worship Jesus. We follow Jesus. Again, it's not Jesus plus certain things to actually really give you the wisdom and the love of God. It is Jesus alone. And as we honor him and follow him and pursue him, that is how we experience more of who he is. Not by trying to do certain things to maybe manipulate God into revealing more of himself to us. It's not some secret, as we've been talking about through this book of Colossians. It's not some secret of knowledge that's only reserved for a select few of people. It's anybody who would come and follow Jesus can experience God and his wisdom. So you don't have to do all these extra things that some of these teachers were saying in order for God to love you or display himself to you, because he's displayed himself to us in Christ. So verse 19, he said, he doesn't hold on to the head from whom the whole body nourished and held together by its ligaments and tendons, grows with growth from God. What he's saying here is the he here in verse 19 is these false teachers. That the biggest problem with these teachers, or maybe it's a specific teacher, again, we don't exactly know, is that this teacher has not maintained a fellowship or contact with Christ, because Christ is the head of the body, not a teacher, not an ideology, not a list of practices. Christ himself is the head of the body. And without Christ, who is our head, the body cannot grow and cannot mature. This is why he says again in verse 19, he doesn't hold on to the head. These teachers don't hold on to Jesus. They don't do that, because from Jesus the whole body is nourished and held together and grows. If you take Jesus away, or if you add things to Jesus, well, all of a sudden you have an unhealthy body, because it's about what Christ has done, not about what we do in order to gain God's favor. And then he says this in verse 20. He says, if you died with Christ to the elements of this world, why do you live as if you still belonged to the world? Why do you submit to regulations? Again, for Paul, if you are in Christ, why go back to live your life as if you are not? Why go back to certain other pagan practices that said you have to do a certain amount of sacrifices or ascetic rituals, or go to the temple and do certain things in order for God to gain his favor on you? Why do these things? Because we have them in Christ. Now, again, to be clear, Paul is not against regulations or rules, right? Because as we know, following Jesus, well, there are commands and rules and things that God asks us to abide by, right? To love our neighbor as ourselves, to flee from sexual immorality, to be a thankful person, to grant people forgiveness and grace and love and mercy in the same way that God has given us these things. There are certain things that you would expect believers to live by. So again, it's not that Paul's against these things, but rather rather doing these things in order to gain God's favor is a sign that we are following or belonging to the world, and they are not of God. Again, it's a very thin line, right? Because we all know the human tendency is you get what you deserve, or you try to do certain things to gain favor from somebody or a relationship from somebody or to be in somebody's good graces. And so it is a quite radical idea to say God has forgiven you and given you grace, not because of anything you have done, but purely because of who he is, right? And it is in response to that that we live and that we honor and that we obey the commands that God has given us, but not that we do these things in order to say, look, now I'm saved or now I'm good. It's in response to what Christ has done. And so Paul is saying, don't let people tell you that you must do X, Y, and Z. You must observe these festivals. You must do certain things in order for God to really love you. Because again, God has displayed his amazing and his infinite love to us in Christ. And so with that, he says this in verse 21. Or he's going to give some examples. Why do you submit to some regulations? And then he says this in verse 21. Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. All these regulations refer to what is destined to perish by being used up. They are human commands and doctrines. Now, Paul here, he's referencing specific rules that these false teachers are telling the Colossians. So when it says in your Bible, if you're reading along, it likely has in quotation marks, don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. He's talking about certain things or certain rules and regulations that some of these false teachers were saying Christians must do or the Colossians must obey. And so whether it's eating or doing certain things that were restricting from God. Again, you have people who understandably so grew up as Jews and observed the Jewish dietary customs. And so in their mind, you have to refrain from certain things or else God will, you won't actually honor God if you eat certain things or go certain places or be around certain unclean people. There are certain things you have to do that certain things you shouldn't do, because if you do them, they will restrict you from God. Now, what Paul is saying is that these things don't last, that human regulations can't do for us what God can do. Again, it's not bad to have rules or commands or even your own personal convictions, right? There's nothing wrong with being convicted not to eat certain things that aren't sinful to partake in, but for your convictions, maybe family history, things you've been a part of, maybe alcohol, for example, is an easy one to talk about. He'll have different convictions over. And so it's a good thing for you to abstain. But you don't abstain, again, in order for God to love you more. You abstain maybe to honor him, but it's not in that abstaining that makes him love you. It's through Jesus and what he has done that it grants us access and this love. And so if we have all of these human regulations that we set up apart from what God has asked us to do, well, all of our human regulations can fail. And so again, there's nothing wrong with having personal convictions, but if we have personal convictions that scripture doesn't say are necessarily right or wrong or sinful or not sinful, just because it's a conviction of ours doesn't mean it needs to necessarily be a conviction for everybody else. Nothing wrong with rules and regulations, but we shouldn't place them on a pedestal that God has not placed them on. And then he says this in verse 23. He said, although these have a reputation for wisdom, again, these teachers here have a reputation for wisdom by promoting self-made religion, false humility, and severe treatment of the body, they are not of any value in curbing self-indulgence. In other words, what Paul is saying is that these teachers are advocating a quote-unquote wisdom for daily life that allegedly will help the Colossians deal with life circumstances. So again, there's various problems that they're facing, just like in our culture today, there's various problems that we are facing. And so the teachers are saying you have to do these certain things in order, again, to really understand God's wisdom and his love for you. The problem, again, according to Paul, is that these are self-made ideologies, these are self-made rules that they may look really spiritual. They may look really great. And in fact, maybe in and of themselves, they do promote spiritual practice and growth and experience more of God, more of who he is. But the problem is the heart and the motivation for doing them. You see, for Paul, what he's saying is that these teachers are promoting self-confidence instead of confidence in the flesh. In other words, for example, if we talked about fasting is a great spiritual practice. But if you're fasting to kind of make yourself, feel better, to make yourself think, well, hey, I'm really a follower of Jesus because I fast, X amount of times or in certain ways, and these other people aren't fasting at all, and if they love Jesus the way I love Jesus, then they clearly would do some sort of fasting. So I guess that means that I'm more serious or more intentional about my walk with Jesus than these other people. Fasting in that light is not a good thing. That is fasting in that light is promoting self-confidence instead of confidence in Christ. Again, we should have spiritual practices that we are part of. Studying the Bible, like Bible studies like this, they're great to do only if they're pointing us closer to Jesus and not puffing us up with our own knowledge or our own superiority or our own feelings of better than other believers. Self-made practices aren't good. They are only good if they are pointing us to Jesus. And that is what Paul is getting at here in this section. Again, not that rules, regulations, and commands are bad, but really it's the motivation behind why we are doing them. And it seems that some of these false teachers in Colossae were giving people wrong motivations. In other words, it wasn't do these things to grow closer to God. It's do these things so that you can have secret knowledge that other people don't have. Do these things so that God will love you more than he'll love other people. And yet Paul, all throughout this book, is saying that is not true. God's love is equally accessible and equally tangible and relatable and feelable and acceptable through Jesus. Do Jesus and what he has done for us. And so with that being said, here we'll close with three kind of main takeaways from this section. Here's the first one. That spiritual practices matter. So again, maybe it seems like Paul is saying they don't matter because he's trying to confront certain things that are going on. But we know from other Paul's writings from the rest of the New Testament that spiritual practices matter. But the results, not the practice itself, is what ultimately is important. They matter, but why they matter is what they can do for us in terms of growing us closer to Christ. Not the practice in and of itself that matters. Like reading your Bible just to check it off a list isn't helpful. It's if we're doing that in a way to humbly and intentionally asking God to reveal more of himself to us. So spiritual practices do matter. It's just about why we do them that really matters. Not just do them to check off a list, but do them because we want to grow closer to God. Number two, we see that self-made religion is anything that we add to Jesus. Anything we add to Jesus has now become self-made religion. In other words, you have to follow Jesus plus do X, Y, and Z. Or you have to follow Jesus plus refrain from X, Y, and Z. Anything that we add to Jesus is self-made religion. Again, how we live does matter, but not in a sense of saving us or making us better than other people. But we live in a way that's in a response to the grace and mercy we have experienced in Christ. And then lastly, we see this, that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. Jesus plus nothing. We don't add to the gospel. We don't follow Jesus and believe in Jesus and do certain things and then we're good. We simply receive the grace and mercy of God and then we live in response to that, not in addition to that. And that can make all the difference. And that's Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 through 23.